Mark chapter 12. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some, killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him, and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard to others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. This parable harkens back to Isaiah chapter 5. My well-beloved hath a vineyard, and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And he talks about all the things he had done, and how he would lay it waste, and so on and so forth. And he said, The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So Jesus is drawing on the Old Testament in this parable, because the same thing, set a hedge, a fence, he fenced it in and digged a place for the winepress and built a tower, and he let it out to husbandmen. He put people over it to watch it, to bring forth the fruit thereof. In Isaiah, that brought forth wild grapes. Bad grapes. Not the grapes desired. Not the domestic grapes, which were good to eat. But rather something inedible. In this case, we have the husbandmen refusing to hand over the produce. They're keeping it as their own personal, sandbox, playground. The big fish in the little pond. But they're the big fish. And they don't like being reminded that they're under someone else. When the servants come, they treat them badly. These are the prophets, the former prophets, the latter prophets, who suffered at the hands of the men of Israel, of the rulers and the leaders. And Jesus is saying, the men of his generation are the same, except now the Son has come. And rather than reverencing the Son of God, they treat him more spitefully than all the others, and they kill him. To obtain what? To obtain their vineyard, so that they could keep control of what they have that is not theirs. People who get into positions of religious power, they love the control that they gain over people. They forget oft times that the authority that they exercise is not their own. The power they exercise over in this case, the master's vineyard is only theirs by the fact that he delegated them the authority over it. You will plant it. You will take care of it. It was given to them. But people begin to think of it as theirs. My church, my people, my organization, my ministry. Forgetting that they are merely ones whose God has set them over it. Whatever, even if they be false teachers, they are over people. And they have been given over those people by the will of God. Because no man could have power in the earth except God allow it, except God give it. From the most wicked ruler to the most inconsequential little dictator in a backwater town. They all are given their position from the authority of God. And God will call them into account for how they have dealt with his goods, with his people. And this is what they do with Christ, of course, in his own time. I mean, the meaning of the parable is obvious. They even understood it. They're like, he's talking about us. He knows we intend to kill him. Of course, they didn't see it as such. I mean, they don't, oh, you're the Son of God. Yeah, it's just the sort of thing you would say. We're protecting our people from your doctrines, from your heresies, from your blasphemies, Jesus of Nazareth. We're protecting them from you, and we're protecting our nation from you, and our place, which we rightfully have of God. Because they don't think like, you know, the husbandmen. If the Pharisees truly believed they were like these men, they'd probably stop considering the meaning of the parable. But they don't believe. So they don't. Have you not read this scripture? We'd read it just last time. Remember Psalm 118, verse 22. Because in verse 26, it was Hosanna, save now. Hosanna in the highest. They were calling out as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And from that same psalm comes the scriptures. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. That which they said, nah, it's become the stone on which the whole world turns, on which the whole building is founded. They did not want him. They rejected him. But God, who is master builder over all, has set him in a firm place, as a firm foundation for our faith. And it is God's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Have you truly marveled at the meaning behind that? I mean, think about it, that God would set things up in such a way that they would reject him. He would hide the wisdom from them, that they should reject him. Most people today act like that the only thing God really cares about is that people would believe in him. Oh, if they would just believe in me. He just loves them and he just wants them to believe, you know. And it's funny because when they talk about the Pharisees and so on, they want to somehow take away the intervention of the Lord from their blindness. Like they don't want to, they've blinded themselves, right? They want to blame the Pharisees.